Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is the one, 95.1 FM and almost 50 years now, KYMN 1080 AM, a friend that you can count on. Down, down. 21218, February 12th, 2018 is the date, and the time here is 9:04 almost. And good morning. Thank you for coming to the 1080 location or 95.1. You're probably already tuned in, but some people do tune in at 9 o'clock as they get in their car and get off to work. Well, last week I had a very interesting guest on my radio show, a gentleman by the name of Ness. Last name is Ness. No relation to the Ness that you may know through the city council or defeated Jesse James days or the insurance business. My gentleman's friend is Robin Ness, and Robin Ness is being escorted to the upright position as our news director, is also the lady that provides shade, because at this time of the year, that sun comes right up over the Northfield City Library and beams right into our picture window located in the building that used to be the T-Lander Rexall Drug Building, and now it is the Carleton College Building, and we have some space in that right on the sidewalk, and we can see Carleton students coming back from coffee and walking over to the campus. Hope you had a nice weekend. We had a nice lazy weekend at our home. And the excitement, of course, the Olympics. I enjoyed watching that. And coming up next week, the beginning of the NASCAR racing season. And, of course, I like to get involved that, too. I belong to a pool, and that's where you pick five drivers. And then you hopefully will have them finish first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. And that comes out to 15. And that's the lowest number. The highest number is in the 120s or something like that. Low number wins. And I got a nice little check in the mail. And my season paid for this year's. And I didn't even know I had won that many times. And I am happy to say I have my picks all ready to go. And I have to make, for those of you who know Les Ferris, who was a prominent race car driver here in Northfield, out of Northfield, up at Elko Speedway, but he did travel the circuit. Places like New Smyrna, etc. And I said, hey, Les, why don't you and I figure out what drivers we should pick? And he picked his, and I went, hey, that's what I was going to do. The only one I added that I changed was Logano. I think he's number 22. That's a little bit of information for you NASCAR people that enjoy auto racing, which is a pretty fine tradition here in America. Well, let's get to my guest here this morning, Robin Ness. Thank you for coming in. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too, Wayne. Thanks for having me back.
Anybody tune in and hear you on KYMN Radio last Thursday, was it?
That was Thursday, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we got some feedback from relatives over in Sweden that heard it, yeah.
Wow, Sweden.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a lot of people from relatives from Sweden. Where about?
That's a good question. They're relatives of my wife, so okay. I'm not intimately related with where they are, but my daughter's been over to visit them. They've been very hospitable and courteous to her when she's traveled over there, and she loves them, and they're a lot of fun. They were here to visit us this past September, and we had the good fortune of having them stay with us for a few days, and hosted them, showed them around the area a little bit.
Take them to the Historical Society?
Yeah, we were down there.
Were they impressed?
You know, it's an interesting story, and
well,
I don't know how many robbers and gangsters they've had over in Sweden, but yeah, they seem to be very interested in the tale.
Well, it's internationally famous, and I like to tell the story and have given tours to various individuals, I always enjoyed the fact that I had the opportunity to be a member of the James Younger gang that does the raid reenactments.
Yeah.
What a thrill that is.
Yep.
And I don't do that anymore. But I have to say that in Sweden, we flew into Frankfurt, drove to Denmark, attended a huge party. High school graduation there is a real big big deal. They call it gymnasium. And the kids can drink, but they don't drive, period, amen, that's it. And they were hauled around in a wagon-like thing, in a tractor, and stopped off at everybody's houses and just had a big party, and the parents would jump ahead and visit with the people. It was so much fun. Then we took that graduate who had been an exchange student that stayed with us here in America and went over to Sweden on a boat. And then we got off the boat in Stockholm, I think, is where we got off.
Sure.
And the first thing I noticed was they were having a parade of Back to the 50s American cars. I felt right at home.
Yeah, I bet you did.
And then we went up into Norway and had a lot of fun there. The kid from Denmark could kind of speak Swedish and Norwegian. They mm-hmm. had similar words.
Yep.
And visited my wife's great-grandfather's grave, but never went in the church. And, you know, and it was open.
Huh.
I tell that story because I still feel bad we didn't do that. But anyhow, for those of you that don't know or weren't available last Thursday morning to listen, Robin Ness is an individual that has many talents, and he is very involved with all kinds of music here at the Northfield music scene. And I'm trying to the name of the Chance Meetings. There we go. I got it right, right?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, and you play with a guy by the name of John Hiscox, who is my new music director, my first music director. And I asked him to set up people that I could talk to that would be interesting, and his first choice was you. And so we talked a little bit about everything, but we never filled out the entire conversation and all the other things you've done with your life. You're out of high school, correct?
I am now, yeah, finally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Chance Meetings is a band that's performed here in the Northfield area.
Yes.
And I think what I'm going to do, do you mind if I play a CD, this CD?
Yeah, that's
it's
fine.
It's just a one-song CD.
Yeah. I brought a few other selections on this one today just for fun.
Oh, this is a perfect one for now.
Yeah,
and I assume that this is probably an arrangement that I haven't heard before. If I can get my equipment to work, push this button, Wayne. Okay, that works. Push that button. Giving you a lesson, radio. Push that button. Push this button. Push that button.
Watch the volume when it initially starts.
Push this button. Slide that slide.
There you go.
Push this button. And then push this button. There, we should have some music pretty quick here.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
When we finally kiss goodnight,
how I hate to go out in the storm.
But if you really hold me tight,
all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight,
how I hate going out in the storm.
But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slow, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you let me go, snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow.
Hey, I like that ending. That, of course, featuring Robin Ness, my guest this morning. What a nice voice you have.
Oh, thank you.
And who was that lady singing with you?
That's Gail Mall, who also sings with us in chance meetings.
And where is she from?
She's in Northfield.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have all kinds of neat people to talk to.
Yes.
You know, while I was listening to that, where did you record that?
In my studio.
Okay. And your studio is in your home?
Yeah.
And the studio in the home is in the bathroom?
No. Okay. No, it's in kind of a rec room, I suppose you'd call it.
Okay. Because that nice little reverb on it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Nowadays you can do all kinds of things with technology.
Do you know, when I was listening to that, I was thinking, have you ever done country music as per se, as opposed to bluegrass, etc.?
Yes.
And Do you enjoy that genre?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's fun. I didn't used to care for it back in high school. And then when I graduated, or when I came back to play music full-time between my first 2 years of college and my second 2 years of college, I stayed out for a year and played music full time, and that was predominantly country western that we were doing. And then we went off on our own, and we were playing more country rock at that time. That was a pretty hot one, and then leaning more toward rock.
Now, did you have a particular style that you liked? A particular country singer that you enjoyed listening to?
Well, at that time, of course...
Dave Dudley, I think we talked about.
Dave Dudley, yeah. Six Days on the Road. Yeah. And I met the guy who did the lead guitar part on 6 Days on the Road down in Nashville. And he was from Minnesota originally.
Yeah, and I used to go to a bar back in the 60s, early 60s, on Selby Avenue, where they played.
Oh.
And we were rock and roll guys, my buddy and I. And we thought, well, let's give this a try. And it was pretty cool. I was surprised. It was like the second time I'd been in a country western bar. Now, you mentioned that somebody played what with him?
The lead guitar part on 6 Days on the Road was played by a guy by the name of Jimmy Covard, who grew up in Nisswa, Minnesota.
Okay.
And spent time kicking around St. Paul, and then he moved down to Nashville. And he was an awesome guitar player, just amazing. He had us over to his house one Sunday to jam around his pool in the backyard, and his bedroom at his home was lined. The walls were just covered with gold records and platinum records that he had played on.
And, wow.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, right where you're seated right now, I had a fellow by the name of Bob Wooten.
Mm.
Does that name mean anything to you?
It's a familiar name to me. Yeah.
Bob Wooten was the lead guitar player for Johnny Cash for 30 years. And he passed away a couple of years ago.
Mm.
But he would go out and do shows in Cannon Falls, Northfield, Rochester. And he sounded exactly like Johnny Cash. I mean, he had it down just perfect. It was so much fun listening to him.
I bet.
So when we talked last week, we played four different live numbers, and I was under the impression that you wanted to limit yourself to those four, but I see, as per request, that you did bring your guitar, and so evidently you're going to replay or redo one of those, or two of those, or four of those four, or you came up with another one.
I'll maybe play one live one today, and I put a few songs together on another disc for you. One being Folsom Prison.
Oh, I like that.
And I thought maybe you'd like that.
Yeah. I like the story behind it.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. 17 minutes after 9 o'clock, Robin Ness is my guest here on Kim Radio. And we are going to be back with Robin after I talk a little bit about a place called the Quarterback Club. Now, I believe there's such a thing as a Robin restaurant. up in Apple Valley or International or Nashville, whatever. Stay home right here in Northfield, Minnesota, where you can get the flame-broiled burgers that taste so good. And in addition to that, they're very delicious roasted chicken. They introduced baby back barbecued ribs a couple years ago. I'll tell you what, home cooking right here in Northfield, Minnesota. They've been around 50 years, locally owned for most of those. The Vikings owned it at first, but just for less than a year. And we would like you to try their French fries. They're always hot and fresh. In addition to that, they have pitas and they have egg salad sandwich. And they have a huge menu. And that's on Highway 3 and 3rd Street. We're talking about the Quarterback Club, locally owned, locally managed by Dale Finger and crew. Matter of fact, you may not know this, Robin. Steve and Lori Eastrom have been there for over 40 years. He cooks mornings and noons, and she works the window.
Wow, that's impressive.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Dale's awfully good to them, and they're awfully good to Dale.
They must be.
So where did we leave off in regards to a chronological discussion about your life? First of all, I usually take notes, and the notes that I have do not have your high school of record. It does not have your hometown of record. I failed to write things down, and I was writing down that chance meeting is going to be coming up. How did last Saturday go? Or was it Sunday night? Didn't you kick off, or is it this coming Sunday?
Sunday, March 18th. Chance meetings will have a concert at the Moravian Church, and there's a dinner beforehand at the church, and then the concert after.
And, of course, Randy Ferguson will be there April 15th, Hoot Nanny on May 20th, and Greg Smith and Friends on the 17th. Hey, that's St. Patrick's Day. No, that's June 17th. Never mind. But I don't, and I also wrote down that when it comes to guitars, I learned from your friend John Hiscox that there are Fenders, Martins, Gibsons, Gretsch, and then I think you, Taylor, and then do you have like a Shell something or other? I don't know what I wrote down there. Can't read my writing.
Well, there's a lot of different guitar makers, and we're kind of in the renaissance of luthiers, I think. There's a lot of independent luthiers that build custom guitars and that sort
luthier
of thing.
Luthier?
Yeah.
Like Lutheran, but luthier?
Luthier, L-U-T-H-I-E-R.
Okay. Is that what you use?
Well, that's not a brand. That's a vocation, if you will.
luthiers are guitar
makers. Builders.
Okay.
Builders and
customizers. I learned a new word today.
Yes.
I will not remember it tomorrow.
It's okay.
Somebody say luthier, and I'll say, oh, no, Catholic. So did we get you out of where your hometown was?
Hector.
Hector, okay.
Yeah.
I thought that, yeah, I remember because I asked you if that was the home of the bachelors, and you said, no, that's some other town.
Yeah, I think that's Herman, Minnesota.
Herman is exactly right. So you're born and raised in Hector and graduated from high school in Hector.
That's right.
And you were an outstanding jock.
Oh, I was a miserable failure as a jock.
But
I enjoyed watching cheerleaders and girls in the stands, you know, so that was my job.
So, and what your folks were hog farmers.
Yeah,
hey,
that's
it's
right.
Coming back to me, okay.
Yep.
And you raised a lot of sows and silk ears. And
we actually didn't have sows. We bought them and feeder pigs, that's right.
Okay.
And fed hogs out, too.
And you mentioned that it's a lot different today than it was then.
Oh, yeah.
But you did have over 1,000 on the farm, which is a big farm.
Well, we would typically sell anywhere from 500 to 1,000 head per week.
Oh, my God.
And travel to Nebraska and Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin.
And Austin.
Oh, yeah, we get down to Austin once in a while, but haul the market hogs to South St. Paul predominantly, I guess.
Okay. And then you were in a high school band and played. Did dances for the people in Hector?
Yeah, we played quite a few places out there.
And you knew that this was your profession that you wanted to get into. Did you know that right out of high school?
You know, I enjoyed music a lot, but I never took it seriously enough that I would want to do it as a profession, full-time, as a career move. My guitar buddy at that time, Ted, he and I had a lunch one time, and he expressed interest in doing it as a career, but I just didn't feel that there was enough money to be made and security to make that realistically happen. And my limitations on talent, of course, was the predominant factor there.
Guitar or voice? I wouldn't say voice. It would have been...
Oh, well, guitar and voice.
Oh, were you being so humble? But you did a lot of gigs for a lot of teenagers in the area.
Yeah.
And, you know, the money that you made wasn't a whole lot, but it was money.
Yeah.
And you were doing that, and you were having fun.
That's right.
You were popular. Girls liked you. So you graduated from Herman High School and Hector High School and said, I think I'll go to the University of Minnesota.
Well, I decided to go to ASU first, Arizona State University.
Right. Yeah.
So that's where I had a lot of...
Because your folks would winter there.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was pretty familiar with the Valley and kind of consider that my second home. I love that part of the country down there. It's beautiful.
And then halfway through, you quit and did what?
Played music full-time, came back, and played in a backup band for a young lady who had done an album in Nashville, and did that with her for quite a while. And
what's her name?
Carlotta Marie was her name. That was her stage name. And,
was she Hispanic?
No.
Okay.
No, she wasn't. But nice stage name, certainly.
Yeah.
But and then we went off on our own. And, did all the bookings and traveled around the region out that way.
Have you ever heard of Carlotta the Kim Cow?
I don't believe I have.
Years ago, during June Dairy Month, when there were a lot of dairy farms around,
yeah,
we used to go and broadcast live from the cow barn. And we had contests during June, and they had to guess which animal was behind the Kim barn door, and we had Percival Pig, and we also had Eartha Kitten.
Oh, nice.
And we had Sammy Snake Jr., and we had Lolita the Lamb. But the big deal was Carlotta the Kim Cow. And so there'd be a sound effect of, okay, grab the handle. And then I'd grunt a little bit. It's a heavy door. And the folks on the phone would go, oh, and then the door would open. And they'd win.
Nice.
$10.80.
Wow, big money.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So after a year traveling with Carlotta, the musician, you decided to go back to school at Arizona.
I re-enlisted, so to speak, at the U of M here in Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
So I finished out, got my degree in advertising.
In advertising.
Yeah.
And so now you're ready to... Now, I'm bringing folks up to date,
because mm-hmm.
We didn't go far. We went somewhat far. But anyhow, if I recall, you were more into print than you were electronic advertising.
That's correct, yeah.
And so you went to various agencies and got jobs?
Well, that was kind of the idea at the time. That was sort of what they train you for at the U of M, at least in those times. And when my time was up at the U of M, I got my degree, and my dad passed away a month before I had graduated. So I went back to the farm. And took care of the pig business there for about a year and a half. Got married shortly thereafter, after returning. And, so just kind of kept me out of mischief for about a year and a half. And then decided, I really want to get into advertising. That's what I went to school for, and that's where my passion was. And so that's what I did.
Do you have siblings?
My older sisters.
Okay.
Yes.
Did they take over the farm then?
No.
Oh.
No.
So you sold it off.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now you could really go travel and play music.
Yeah, well,
sold the farm so I could go play in a 3-2 joint.
Yeah, well, I was still playing music at that time concurrently with when I was in the pig business. And when I initially, when I went back to Minneapolis and got in advertising, I went to work for a company called the Miller Publishing Company. And one of the great guys that I had the good fortune of being in a class with was a recently retired vice president of General Mills. His name was Jim Fish. And a brilliant guy and magnanimous, very good mentor to young people. And he had offered to be a reference for me when I sent a resume out and an application to an ad agency at the time. And
that had a help if that ad agency was handling General Mills.
Yeah, right. I don't think they were, but different agency. And of course, I got a rejection letter right away. I had no experience in advertising at that point, you know. So a couple of weeks later, he was kind enough to give me a follow-up call and ask if I had heard back from that agency or not. I said, yeah, I was rejected. And he said, well, he said, you're still interested in advertising? Oh, yeah, absolutely. But he said, I'll give you a couple leads. There's a couple positions open. One of them was at an agency called Colmick-Voy Advertising.
Oh, that's big time.
Yeah, yeah. And the other one was a position, it was a sales promotion position at a company called the Miller Publishing Company, venerable old publishing company, big in agriculture. That was their primary focus. But they had some retailer-type magazines, Tack and Togs Retailer for the horse and rider market, and Garden Supply Retailer, Farm Supply, you know, Farm Supplies and Garden Supplies, those kind of magazines for that market, too.
Did Faribault Seed advertise, do you know?
That I don't know.
Okay. Well, they were real big back in the day.
Sure, yeah. And their oldest magazine was a weekly agribusiness newspaper called Feedstuffs, and it's still being published today. But it was about 100 years old at that time, and they were owned by American Broadcasting Company, ABC.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was kind of an intriguing situation. And anyway, Mr. Fish said, you know, do you remember this friend of mine, Mary, from this class that we had together? And I said, yeah. He said, well, she works there in a similar position. So here's her phone number. You give her a call, and she can fill you in on this job and what the company's about, and maybe you can check it out. So I thanked him, of course, and called her right away, and boy, she was high on the company and excited and enthused, you know. And so she transferred me over to the HR director.
Did they call him that then?
HR director, yeah.
Did they?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that was kind of a relatively new terminology.
Yeah. And so she gave me a brief phone interview, and then she wanted me to come down in person and interview for the position, which I did the following week. And
she liked your voice.
Yeah, she said, yeah, you were made for radio, Robin. Yeah, yeah, right. So, two interviews, and a week later I was there working.
At Miller Publishing.
Yes.
And now your farming background certainly had to have some impact on that.
Yeah, it did, because the magazines that I was destined to work on were magazines by the name of Hog Farm Management, Feedlot Management, and Dairy Herd Management. And eventually I also worked on Farm Store Merchandising magazine.
Now, did you do cold calls, or did you do everything by mail or by phone?
You know, selling advertising in magazines is a great relationship kind of position. And I got to be, you know, good friends with a lot of the owners of businesses of various sizes, as well as large companies, pharmaceutical companies, feed companies, etc., you know, equipment manufacturers and their ad agencies. We called on all their ad agencies and PR agencies as
well.
How
did you like calling on ad agencies?
It was great. It was great. The interesting thing always is who's going to be the decision maker, though. That was one of the fun and interesting parts of that job, is making sure you're covering all your bases that are important ones to be connected to.
So walk us through this after I take a brief break, so people understand when they open a magazine and they see an ad, all the stuff that goes into that, and all the bureaucracy and anything else we can think of.
Your vehicle's engine warning light could mean something as simple as a loose gas cap or something serious and potentially expensive if you don't address it right away. Have our professional technicians at Witt Brothers Service diagnose and fix the problem as part of your overall preventative maintenance program. It could save you from costly problems down the road. Stop by Witt Brothers Service at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield for all of your automotive maintenance and repair needs.
Benjamin Bus and Northfield Lines has an excellent team of drivers with over 400 years of combined safe driving. They're proud of their record and accomplishments, as well as the records and accomplishments of all the Raiders sports teams, and would like to wish them ongoing success. For shuttle services, events, and other transportation needs, contact Benjamin Bus and Northfield Lines, your trusted friend on the road. And go Raiders!
We're back live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair. On Kim, a friend you can count on. I have a musician and a Northfielder in studio right now. His name is Robin Ness, and he is telling me about his career in advertising. You live right here in Northfield. You know what I forgot to ask you? Whereabouts in Northfield do you and your wife live?
Over by the golf club.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And Chance Meeting is the name of the band that they play, the name under which they play when they're at places like the Cow and other places in the area.
That's right.
And I'm going to play some music coming up on KYMN. And one live song, Folsom Prison Blues, is going to be from a live performance that they have made in the past. But right now, living over by the golf course, we're going to continue talking. Now, when you get this job at Miller Production or Publishing, and you're selling an ad, let's say ads come in an eighth page, quarter page, half page, full page, obviously the best deal is the full-page ad. It, of course, costs more money, but on a per square inch, it's a lot cheaper than the eighth page. And then, in addition to that, you have black and white, and you have four color,
yeah.
And that's even more expensive. So when you go to the advertising agency for corporate B that you want, you have to, first of all, let folks know how the process goes. First of all, you have to get a meeting.
Right.
Okay. So now you got a meeting with this high-end advertising agency that has been assigned the account that you're trying to sell. Mm-hmm. What happens then?
Well, you determine beforehand, of course, who the players are. You've got an account executive team, an account supervisor typically that's overall over the account. And then you've got a media planner and a media buyer. They may also have an in-house public relations department that gets involved in various projects and things that are happening when there's new products that are cleared by the government for sale. There's a long process that goes behind all that, all the testing on livestock and different animals, of course, when they're trying to get new drug clearances. And it's a long process, and it's a very expensive process. I know we all know the drug issues in the news are the high-priced drugs out in the market, but I have to take both sides of that coin a little bit because I know that it costs a lot of money.
H&D?
Yeah. Yeah, the R&D.
R&D, rather.
Research and development, yeah. Yes.
And, well, the part that, forget that part, okay, let's say it's a coat, you know, just something other than the FDA or whatever it is getting mm-hmm. involved. First, you have to meet with somebody at the agency. You have to sell that person on the circulation and quality of your magazine, mm-hmm. tell success stories. Then he or she does what?
Well, after you've laid out your story to them, your demographics of your reader audience and those kinds of things and why they're significant and the cost efficiency of your magazine delivering that market to their target market that they need, then you've had your meeting. You may have met with the account supervisor or the account executive at first. And then after that, you can arrange subsequent meetings in the media department with the media planners and the media buyers, and kind of all get a cohesive plan and a cohesive idea together as to how you want to propose. You're going to do a 12-time schedule in your magazine. We do 12 issues a year, two special issues on top of that. You know, so you kind of lay out what the best plan would be, and you go in with some proposals after you've kind of listened to them, too, as to their needs and their direction that they want to go with, and come up with something that's equitable. You know,
and this doesn't happen in one stop.
No.
No. You have to do the first meeting, then you do the second meeting with somebody, then you do the third meeting. So now you get the budget first, or do you have to come in with a prepared ad to show them what you can do?
No, they would do the ad preparation.
Okay.
And, you know, you may have some ideas. Sometimes we would go in with special project ideas. For example, a high-impact unit within the magazine. I sold a series of posters in the magazine, which we also parlayed into internet exposure also, and overruns. So not only did they get bound into the magazines, the companies could overrun, do print overruns, and use those posters for their clientele on the outside and use them at trade shows as handouts and various things like that.
How long ago did you work there?
This would have been in the 80s and 90s.
And they had internet?
Well, toward the end of that period, yeah.
That's another thing you had to deal with.
Right. That was a new animal to deal with.
And show them how strong you were and how many visits you're having.
Yeah.
Or whatever for the product.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to run back and forth from the person that made up the print ad and then go back to the people and say, is this acceptable? No. You got to have this color, this number, this figure.
No, we didn't get into that level of production detail.
Yeah,
the agency would be responsible for handling all the ad production details, and of course they work in conjunction with their client. And I would also meet with their client, and there may be several product managers. There may be a marketing and communications manager, an ad manager, and again a PR person that may have specialized in their public relations stuff. So it was always interesting, and there were always opportunities to pitch the client on an idea, sell them on a concept. After visiting with them, you kind of get an idea what might be helpful for them on some things. And then I'd go back to our offices and kind of lay some ideas out and bounce some ideas around and sometimes get an editor or two involved. And they would have all the industry contacts. If we were going to create, for example, one of these poster projects, it had a lot of helpful information and special graphics. And some of those things would have been provided at the university level. Iowa State University, for example, is big in pork production and livestock research and that sort of thing. And so they were very helpful on a number of things.
So a lot of hoops that you have to jump through.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned last time, you know, if you are a salesperson, you know, you might have to make 10 calls before you get one sale, and then you get high. You're just floating because you got one. You know, it's a challenging job, and you can't be a person that can take rejection, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that fit with you when you, first of all, worked with your father on the farm, and then you did your band thing, and I'm sure you had people that loved your band. Didn't stand around and boo and reject you. Maybe
put the net up in front of the stage.
Okay,
no,
but to go in there and then not be accepted, you're not going to take my ad. What was that first one like?
Well, I guess it never. I didn't let it bother me too much.
Okay,
Certainly sometimes you'd come out of a sales call very frustrated because mm-hmm. somebody was being difficult.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, things happen editorially in the magazine that are, you know, looked at as being sort of unfriendly toward an advertiser if they got a certain product that maybe isn't being used properly out in the country. You know, gee, well, people need to know that, and of course, as a magazine, you have to ride the moral high ground on that kind of stuff, and then you have to, you know, smooth over the ruffled feathers after the fact, of course. And of course, the truth wins out on those kinds of things. And
do you have a for example without mentioning product?
Yeah.
Or not product, yeah. But the name of a company.
Sure. Yeah. Milking equipment manufacturers years ago had these automatic detacher units. When the cow was milked out in these parlors, which is a below floor level parlor, they would have the cows come in, and they would, you know, put the milker attachment on the cow, and those were all below level pipelines systems, and a lot of farmers liked the idea of the convenience, but they were still using overhead pipelines in their barns. And so what would happen sometimes is they would neglect to keep their vacuum pressure the way it should be, and then these automatic detachers would disconnect from the cow before she was actually milked out. And so then sometimes they could develop mastitis problems and different things. And anyway, we covered that aspect in the magazine at that time, and had industry-respected veterinarians who were encountering various things that way. And but it wasn't a popular thing with the milking machine manufacturing people at that time.
Well, I was going to say, I'm wondering if they recommend below ground, and instead the farmer chose to stay with the high ground,
the overhead pipeline. Yeah. So it was really irresponsible use of the product. It was a great product. They all had great products, state of the art stuff. But out in the country, sometimes people were, you know, thinking, "Oh, this is a great, you know, convenience and saving me."
So did the editorial suggest that they weren't working hard enough to keep the things below ground because the farmer didn't want to reinstall all those lines and have all that extra cost?
Yeah.
So I won't mention the two that I know.
No.
But I will take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll learn more about my guest this morning on KYMN. His name is Robin Ness, and he lives right here in Northfield, Minnesota.
Valentine's Day is coming up fast, and KYMN loves our listeners. So we're going to show our love by giving away some nice prizes. Check us out on Facebook and register for one of the Grand Valentine prize packages. They include gift certificates from The Ole Store, Anna's Closet, Judy's Floral, with chocolate from Russell Stover, and 4 tickets to Disney's Frozen on Ice. We'll announce the winners on Tuesday's KYMN Morning Show. Go to Facebook or our website for more information. Happy Valentine's Day from your friends at KYMN.
This Valentine's Day, thrill your special someone with a gift from Russell Stover Chocolates. They specialize in fresh strawberries, hand-dipped in luscious chocolate, and packaged in beautiful red heart boxes. Russell Stover chocolate-covered strawberries are the most romantic Valentine's gift you can give. Russell Stover is located in Owatonna next to Cabela's, just north of Northwest 26th Street and I-35. They'll have extended hours through Valentine's Day, so stop by. She'll be so glad you did.
Oh, wow. I know that you can somehow win these heart-shaped boxes of chocolates that are here at the KYMN studio. And every day I come in and say, are one of those open? And I always get a reply, no. They're for our listeners. Okay, so once again, our guest this morning on KYMN Radio is Robin Ness. He's from Northfield. and born and raised in Hector, Minnesota. And now we got him working for the Miller Publishing Company, selling ads in their magazines. And we talked about how difficult that can be. And how long did you work for him?
The Miller Publishing Company, I was there about 5.5 years.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have a watershed year where you really did very well and maybe got a watch or a lot of money or recognition, a plaque?
It was probably in my second year of working there. My good friend and my boss at the time, Paul, had a contest. It was a sales contest. He had in mind with his sales promotion person, which was myself, to sort of morph me into sales. So I started out actually as a sales promotion manager and did that stuff, produced sales materials and rate cards and various things. And then he kind of morphed me into a sales guy, which was a good move, I think.
Yeah, well, salesmen make more money than any other profession.
Yeah, and so I had the good fortune of starting my sales career, and he had a sales incentive program with an incentive company on the outside, and I did pretty well in terms of developing new accounts and that sort of thing. So, yeah, that was good.
That's quite a thrill, isn't it?
Yeah, it was fun.
Come back to the office and say, hey, look what I got, yeah. Signed contract.
Right.
Ever have any handshakes?
Oh, yeah, there were plenty of handshakes, you know. It was unusual, you know, among smaller advertisers, independent manufacturers, equipment, barn steel, you know, kinds of accounts. And when they were new, of course, they probably didn't have an agency necessarily. So you might steer them in the direction of somebody who could help them in an inexpensive way. You know, they didn't have a big budget to work with sometimes.
I had this person is no longer living, and I will not tell what business he had. But another salesperson on staff, KYMN, said, this person is waiting to see you. They're having a promotion. And it wasn't my account, but I was covering for the representative from KYMN had gone on vacation. So I went to that place, and I'm not trying to give any hints on who it might have been. They haven't been in business they're not living anymore.
Sure.
But anyhow, I went out there, put together a contract, you know, in our case, 10 commercials a day for 10 days or something like that, and ran the ads. And the next billing, the salesman whose place I took for that time says, hey, so-and-so says that he didn't order these spots. And I said, well, he sure did. I stood right in his office, and, you know, he told me what he wanted. And 10 a day for 10 days is a nice order. So you don't forget that as a sales representative.
Yeah.
And he says, well, he says he didn't order them, and we don't have a signed contract. we signed contracts. They were the exception rather than the rule.
Right.
And I'll never forget seeing that person next, and I said, you know, I remember the day I stood in your office and you bought those spots. I never ordered those. You're lost a lot of respect for that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But that ever happened to you where you got stiffed?
Oh, not in the magazine business. I worked in magazine publishing for about 20 years, but in the Yellow Pages business, I certainly got stiffed a number of times, yeah.
You sold for the Yellow Pages?
Yeah. I don't want to jump ahead of us too far, though.
Okay, please let's stay where. Okay, we're still at Miller Publishing. And by the way, folks, if you just tuned in, Robin Ness is my guest. He is a musician that lives right here in Northfield with his wife. And the name of their group is called Classic Gas. No, Chance Meetings. And anyhow, we're going to play some music from there. We have to take another break, and then we're going to – should we come back, play one of your selections?
Sure.
And save the lives for later?
We can put the live one in between somewhere, yeah.
Okay. And do you want to talk us into the selection I'm going to choose, which you already know what I'm going to choose? Cut two on that?
Oh, you're going to do two, yeah. Well,
I mean, you can talk where it was.
You want me to talk now about it?
No, I'm going to do this, all right?
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hey, fellas, are you having a difficult time finding that special something for that special someone this Valentine's Day? Why not get her a gift certificate from Anna's Closet and let her pick out that special something? Ladies, want to treat yourself to a pre-Valentine's Day outfit? Anna's Closet in Northfield is the place to do it, now offering a special treat and a special gift for you through Valentine's Day while supplies last. Anna's Closet in downtown Northfield, where, if you are confident, you are beautiful.
The Army National Guard is offering up to a $20,000 enlistment bonus and other tuition benefits to qualified candidates, including new recruits and those with prior military service. Already received your education or are currently in school, you may be eligible for up to $50,000 in student loan repayment. Get the education you need to land the career you've always wanted. Learn more about the many benefits that come with serving part-time in the Army National Guard. Visit NationalGuard.com today. Sponsored by the Minnesota National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota State Broadcasters Association and this station.
All right. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair. And I have my guest in studio right now, and he is a member of Chance Meeting, which is a local Northfield band. And we're going to play a selection here. And can you give me a little bit of a background? I know that this was recorded live someplace.
Yeah, I believe this was a recording we did when we performed a show at the Northfield Senior Center, which I'm trying to remember the new name of it now. I'm lacking the new name. It's North 50 or something like that.
I used to call it Nickrick, and they didn't like that. And I think it was Northfield something Recreation Center. So I just call it Nickrick.
Sure.
And I don't do that anymore. But now they changed the name,
yeah.
And we don't know what it is. But I'll bet you there's a senior citizen out there that uses that place.
Oh, yeah.
Or a staff member that's listening to the radio that might call KYMN and say the new name is so they can promote it. We'll find out. But right now, here we go. Oh, I like it already.
I hear the train a-come, it's rolling round the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. There's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car, probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming, I know I can't be free. But those people keep moving, and that's what tortures me.
Do another one, John.
Well,
they freed me from this prison, and that railroad train was mine. I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Boom, 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 boom. Robin Ness on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, performing live at 50 North is what they call it now, Robin. 50 North. Good. I think you said that.
I think that came to mind finally,
North.
But yeah. Okay.
And
that's
I know what that name stands for.
Mm-hmm.
Age 50 mm-hmm. or older.
Right.
50 North.
Mm-hmm. Clever.
Oh, clever. Wait, thank you to whomever are all those individuals that called in. We appreciate it. And we are at 2 minutes before 10 o'clock and the news. We're going to hear Robin sing live. I have a question, Robin.
Yeah.
Do you have the music in front of you at your gigs, or do you rely on your memory, and how many do you think you remember?
Oh, you know, when I was playing every night, you know, you could do songs in your sleep pretty much. I mean, you did it so regularly, so often that it was just easy to do that. And at my age now, I'm finding it harder to remember lyrics to songs and chord progressions sometimes, and I hate messing up.
Yeah.
In the middle of a song, because it's very distracting when you do that, and so I prefer to have my music stand along. And
one guy I really admired was Glenn Campbell
mm-hmm.
at the end of his life.
Oh yeah, amazing.
To have the guts to go out and do that.
Yeah,
and the family that helped him. You must have a group of fans that enjoy it, and they say, "Oh, hey, he's going to be at the Cow Thursday night. I'll meet you there," and blah blah blah. Do you ever have a song that you're known for, and you know you're kind of like sick of doing it, like some of the big stars, like Neil Diamond, for example, "Sweet Caroline." Do you get sick of ever playing a song?
Sometimes, you know, sometimes you do, but hopefully you're playing songs that you enjoy.
Okay,
and so they're not as grating on you after you've performed them 200 times or something.
Which one is most grating?
Most grating. Ooh, well, you know, from time to time, you drop them out of the set list, so that if they are going to be irritating to one of us or more than one of us in the group, usually somebody says, "Yeah, let's kick that one out." You know.
And which one would that be?
Huh.
Or two or nine?
Well,
do you want time to think about that?
You know, I think we did that to Walk, Don't Run.
Oh.
Adventures.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't sing that anymore.
No, that's an instrumental.
Yeah, it'd just be like an intro, a break.
That was all instrumental.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll take a break for the news, and we'll come back and continue our conversation here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. On your radio station, 1080 on the AM dial for nearly 50 years now, and now the one, 95.1 FM, KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota, the home of cows, colleges, and Robin Ness.
Rebuilding America, Mideast tensions. I'm John Trout. President Trump unveils his administration's infrastructure plan today. The rollout has begun with a presidential tweet. More from Bob Costantini.
The president is hosting state and local officials late this morning to unveil the plan that does put a lot of the money raising for infrastructure on state and localities, plus rely on private investment. The president tweets, "This will be a big week for infrastructure after so stupidly spending $7 trillion in the Middle East. It is now time to start investing in our country." The $200 billion seed money for infrastructure would be over 10 years. The president just signed into law a spending plan that hikes defense and domestic spending $300 billion over the next couple years.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said his nation dealt severe blows to Iranian and Syrian forces following the weekend downing of an Israeli fighter jet over northern Israel. Oren Lieberman describes the weekend military escalations.
Israel downs that drone with an attack helicopter and retaliates by striking the drone's command and control center in Syria. In that strike, a Syrian anti-aircraft missile downs an Israeli fighter jet for the first time in some 35 years. Israel strikes back, hitting 12 different Iranian and Syrian targets in Syria.
New details cite U.S. officials who say ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi was wounded in an airstrike near Raqqa, Syria in May of last year and may have relinquished control of the terror network. Correspondent Nick Payton Walsh.
A lot of airstrikes in that area. It's unclear which airstrike caused this injury, whether Baghdadi was in fact the target or, quote, collateral damage. But the U.S. has pretty high confidence in terms of its intelligence reports, citing refugees and ISIS detainees, that he was in fact injured by an airstrike then.
The beaten down U.S. stock market is back on the upswing. The Dow climbed 300 points, or more than 1%, at this morning's opening bell, a modest rebound after the worst week in 2 years. I'm John Trout.
As we get ready to go back on the air, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for staying tuned. 10:03 and a half is the time. The Beatles, the group that sings When I'm 64, my second hour theme song here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Guest in studio is Robin Ness. Robin Ness is a musician, a salesman, a husband, and we'll learn more about him as we move along with our interview. But during the break, as we were coming into the show for the second hour, and we were talking about the song When I'm 64, Robin, you indicated that there, just as we had to turn the mics on, you were saying, hey, there's a connection with our family to the Beatles, and this is going to be interesting.
Yeah. When my youngest daughter, Lorena, was about, I think she was about 7 years old or so, we went to the state capitol for the Taste of Minnesota celebration, and my sister Lola and her husband Randy had gone down early and gotten a fairly good place to situate the blanket that we sat on to watch the concert. Well, Ringo Starr and his all-star band was the headline act that year. And my daughters were fans of the Beatles, and Lorena particularly was keen on Ringo. And so she made a big banner, kind of a sign, that says, I love you, Ringo. And but unfortunately, she was painfully shy at that age, and so she didn't want to lift it up. So I was holding on to her in front of me, and my brother-in-law Randy was standing at my side there when Ringo was singing. And between his songs, my brother-in-law took that sign that Lorena had made and held it up above our heads. And Ringo saw that, and he says, he points out at us, and he says, "Oh, I love you too, sir." And
sir?
Yes, I love you too, sir. And thinking it was Randy that was the fan, of course, but we pointed down to Lorena, and she was so shy, she was really bashful. So, oh, I see, she's too shy, he says. So,
yep.
So he had her pegged in the audience.
Well, that had to be a big thrill for Lorena.
Yeah, that was fun.
Now, how old is Lorena now?
She is 26.
26?
Mm-hmm.
And she's a Beatle fan.
She was a Beatle fan at a young age, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Beatles were pretty much done when she was born.
Oh, yeah. They got a lot of exposure to some good music when I was in the house.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. When I look at the computer here and I asked Jeff to, the Beatles, oh, my, the songs that they have, and ones you even forget about. What's your favorite Beatles song?
Hmm. There are so many of them.
I know, that's truly, I was going to tell you mine, but I'm going, well, I like Eleanor Rigby. I like that song.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorites that I can name would be I Am the Walrus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I Am the Walrus, and
that's not a...
All You Need Is Love.
Oh, da 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 da.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some very good songs.
I like Michelle.
Michelle was very good.
Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah.
And I saw her standing there. All the, you know, the original stuff that then, of course, changed. I mean, they only lasted together for what, about 12 years, something like that?
Yeah, that's about right, I think.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
My guest this morning on KYMN Radio, once again, is Robin Ness, not related to the Ness family here in Northfield, Minnesota. And he is from Hector, Minnesota. And we talked about his being at Miller Publishing. And then from Miller Publishing, the next place you went started with a C.
When I left the Miller Publishing Company, I joined the competition across the river in St. Paul. That was the Webb Publishing Company.
Oh, right on Kellogg.
Yeah.
That's
well, it was, yeah, West 7th, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know the Webb Company.
Well, is that the one that published law books?
That's
West.
That's West.
I'm sorry.
That's West. They are on Kellogg, aren't they? Yeah. Or they used to be, anyway,
Right above that beautiful jail.
That's right.
Yeah. Ramsey County Jail. I guess that's not a jail anymore, but... Web Publishing on West 7th?
It was on Shepherd Road, officially.
Oh, okay.
The address was Shepherd Road, and it was on the high ground before you go down to the river.
But, and what would be the Smith Avenue, or would you
The cross further? Street, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm. We were around the corner from the Pearson Candy Company.
Okay.
If that
yep,
says
I know.
Anything.
Out near Highland Park.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's Montreal down. Was right,
right
down the road a bit.
It would have been down the road, yep.
Yeah. I won, or did I get, I don't, one time I won a Pearson Sultan Nut Roll. I don't know how I got it, but I think I got it from the president to auction off at a charity function. It was as big as this counter.
Oh, yes, I think I've seen those.
And boy, I'll tell you what, somebody won it that had a business that had a lot of employees, and of course I took about 10 bars out of it at once he opened it up. But yeah, and I love those things. When I was in high school, Pearson Sultan Nut Roll and a Coca-Cola was heaven.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy what we're talking about?
Oh.
It is 9 minutes after 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio. So now I forgot where you went after Miller.
Webb.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long were you at Webb?
I was there about 15 and a half years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did you become an executive?
I was a regional sales manager.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
What region did you have?
I had kind of a Midwest-based territory initially, and then we went more to, I don't know if you'd call it account-based management. So I typically worked with most of the large pharmaceutical companies at that point. And prospected other kinds of businesses too, but
was Webb Publishing drop it off and print it for us and distribute it for us and was all ready to go when it came in the plant?
Webb Publishing actually printed their magazines there in the plant.
What was the name of the magazine?
Well, the ones I was sales manager, regional sales manager on, were National Hog Farmer Magazine.
Wow.
Beef Magazine and Dairy Magazine, which was the official DHIA magazine at that time. So, again, you know, natural inclusion into this livestock vein that I had growing up and just kind of continued that in my profession, I guess. So,
well, did you assign accounts to individuals and then... on Friday, say, how come you didn't close them this week? I mean,
No. Everybody was responsible. We didn't have anybody that was riding us. You know, micromanagement is about the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
To
did they have
a
guaranteed salary plus commissions?
There was a base plus commissions. So yeah, it was a nice arrangement.
Was it one or the other or both?
It was both.
Okay.
Yeah, you had a base, and then you had certain sales goals to exceed, of course, and then you'd be into some commission money at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of businesses run their business.
Mm-hmm.
Some have you don't sell, you don't get.
And right.
A lot of people become disappointed, I guess, in going on complete commissions.
Yeah.
I had a shoe dog job when I was going to college, and it was, I think, 65 cents an hour or 15% of sales, whatever. And I never got an hourly check. I always got, but I worked at a place called Field Schlick, where shoes were five times more than they were at, like, Tom McCann or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an experience working with the upper crust, if you will, that could afford these particular shoes that I sold. So I've had that experience too. And it, like you say, sometimes you can, putting a piece of tinfoil in your mouth, if you micromanage somebody, it can just like, oh, you know, don't leave me alone. I'll get it done.
Right.
Yeah. So did you commute from where to St. Paul's?
Well, I was flying a lot to the East Coast, a lot of New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia kinds of areas. That was where a lot of the big pharmaceutical companies were based.
And for animals.
Yeah.
Is Philadelphia, do they really have the reputation that they have now in Minnesota, or they call it the city of brotherly love?
Yeah. I mean, we witnessed that after that game, right?
Yeah. Are they really, Easterners are really kind of hard to detail work with?
You know, I've experienced a lot of nice people there, and I've experienced a lot of not so nice people there. So, I mean, it's kind of, I'm sure you'd run into that in any area of the country or any area of the world. I mean, you got one in every crowd, so to speak.
Did you ever feel any fear walking down the street of Philly or New York?
No.
Or did you go to New Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
Trenton?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you're a big guy, 6'3"?
6 feet.
You look taller. How long have you had, not in time, how long have you had your hair?
Oh, probably in the last 3 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. He's got long gray hair and a long, very nicely shaped beard, about 6 inches long. You keep that at that level, or do you let it? Are you going to let it keep going?
Oh, I had it. I had it a little longer.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. What made you do that? You retire?
I did it as a joke. Chris Moan, who used to be in our band also.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Chris has played in bands around town for a long time. And he was down at the Cow one night after one of our performances. We went off, and he said, "You know, Robin," he said, "you really look a lot like Jerry Garcia 2 weeks before he died." So I decided, yeah, okay, mister. I'm going to let it all grow out for you.
Okay. So you had the long hair before?
It wasn't real long, no.
Okay. You ever do the ponytail?
I think that's kind of, I don't know. It's not me, put it that way.
How about the bun?
No.
You know, just let it scraggle.
Yeah.
Or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
You want to do a live song now or the next half hour?
Well, let's do it in the next half hour.
All right.
Maybe you want to play one of these?
I sure will. You tell me whether I should. Well, like number four, I wouldn't mind doing, because I know that one.
Yeah, that's fine. That's another live song.
Okay, and where do you recall where you may have recorded this one?
That was done in just a private venue party.
Okay, here we go. Sing along, everybody. I'm sure you'll be able to. On The Wayne Eddy Affair, here's my guest, Robin Ness.
Living on sponge cake, watching the sun bake, all those tourists covering all. Six string on my front porch swing, wasted away again in Margaritaville. Searching for my lost sinker of salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's nobody's fault. I don't know the reason stay there all season. Nothing to show but this brand new tattoo. But it's a real beauty, a Mexican cutie. How it got here, I haven't a clue. Wasted away again in Margaritaville. Searching for my lost shaker of salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's nobody's fault. Flip-flop, stepped on a pop top, cut my heel, had to boogie back home. There's booze in the blender, and soon it will render that frozen concoction that helps me hang on. Wasted away again in Margaritaville. Searching for my lost shaker of salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's my own damn fault. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's my own damn fault.
Thank you very much there. That was performed. Did you recall, Robin Ness, where you performed that particular song?
Yeah, that was a private party.
A private party?
Yeah.
Oh, you actually go out and do private parties?
Occasionally, when it's called for.
You charge a whole lot?
Tons.
$300?
Beaucoup bucks.
Yeah, beaucoup. Merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup.
Well, what's the deal with the eyebrows?
Oh, what do you mean?
You did that last week, and I thought I wasn't going to respond to it, but you just did it a couple of times. Now, he moves each eyebrow up and down independent of the other. And I used to do it when I was a high school kid. I could raise one eyebrow, but you can do them both. You got any other body parts that you can move at will?
None that we can talk about on the airwaves.
Well, okay, let's get on with our interview. And so now, after you get done with web publishing,
yes,
after 15 and a half years, were they so thoughtful that they created parachutes for individuals that worked there? You know, 401ks, let's say, splitting earnings or anything like that? Were they pretty good to their employees?
Well, they were a publicly traded company. They offered IRAs or 401ks. I guess it was 401ks at the time, yeah,
sure,
when I was there. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Thankfully, yeah, that was very good.
Yeah. And then after that, where did you go?
After Webb?
Yeah.
Well, Webb went through several identity changes, mergers and purgers. They got actually bought by a guy by the name of Robert Maxwell from Great Britain. Robert Maxwell was here with Gorbachev, if you remember, when Gorbachev was down here.
Up in St. Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they came out to a farm over by Cannon Falls or someplace.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, okay, yeah. Yes.
Anyway, Maxwell was with them. And so there's a story, and I don't know if it's rumor or what it is, that part of the purpose behind the Beatles' Maxwell's Silver Hammer was written as a result of Robert Maxwell cracking down on the newspaper unions in Great Britain. And their symbol was a silver hammer, evidently, for the unions.
So Maxwell's Silver Hammer is a Beatles song about the trying to fight the unions in England's newspaper industry.
Well, that's a rumor anyway.
Okay.
Makes for an interesting story, if nothing else.
Well, have you listened to the words?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, does it
I mean, they don't, they don't name him by name, necessarily, other than Maxwell in the title and in the song. But
well, that's interesting.
Maxwell's silver hammer came down on their heads.
I like Gorbachev.
Yeah, Gorby was cool.
Yeah. I remember he visited the governor up on Summit Avenue and in that map he has of Russia on his head.
Yeah, that was clever.
24 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on Kim, a friend you can count on. And we're chit-chatting with a fellow named Robin Ness. He lives right here in Northfield, Minnesota. And when you were working in the St. Paul plants, were you living in St. Paul at the time?
Actually, I was living in Mound, and then we moved to Lakeville.
Mound, isn't that like
it's on the west side.
Northwest?
West side, yeah, far west side. That's kind of the last bastion of
suburbs.
Of suburbia.
First-ring suburbs.
Yeah.
Why?
That was as a result of my sister and brother-in-law passing away in that accident.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
we took care of their boys, of course.
In their house. The house.
The first couple, 3 years we were there with them, and then we moved.
For our new listeners that don't know it, a horrible thing happened to Barbara, okay, and her husband. They were vacationing in not Las Vegas, but Reno, and on a small 3989 passenger airplane.
79.
And it went into a mountain, I believe.
It failed to achieve real takeoff.
Okay.
They took off and the plane vibrated and cut the power back on the engines, which is protocol. That's what you're supposed to do. And it didn't take care of it.
So. As a result, 78 of the 79 passengers were killed. There was one lone survivor, a young boy, I believe, a man.
Yeah.
And my guest's sister, Barbara, his oldest sister, and her husband were perished in that plane crash. And before that, Robin and his wife were named guardians for their two boys who were relatively young at the time, and so you went and lived in Mound with your wife and family so that these two boys would have a opportunity to have some their feet on the ground, same friends, same everything else would be normal,
yes,
except the loss of their parents. Very sad. And did you end up adopting them or
no,
as guardians?
No, okay. Just to maintain the guardianship.
Yeah. Very sad. Very sad.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, I would say that was pretty nice of you. How many children did you have at the time?
None.
Okay. So
we were instant parents at that point.
Oh, boy. Your nieces and nephews. And they're young adult men now.
Oh, yeah. They're grown up and on their own. They're doing their things. So that's good.
Okay. Did you teach them to play guitar?
I don't think we ever got into that. I wasn't playing much guitar at that time.
Oh.
I didn't have time to do that. I was traveling a lot on my work. And when I was at home, I wasn't playing guitar. I was spending time with them and my wife.
Yeah. So that's in Mound. Mm-hmm. And then you moved to Lakeville.
Yeah.
And whereabouts in Lakeville?
Oh, on the south, 172nd Street. Approximately, if you come down Cedar Avenue.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's off the west of Cedar Avenue near Cherrywood, I think they call that addition. Cherrywood Heights or something.
How far away are you from that pizza place that's been there forever?
The Ole Piper Inn.
The old, yeah, the Ole Piper Inn. They had a place here in Northfield at one time.
Did they really?
Yeah. How far were you?
We were about a mile further south
And
about three-quarters of a mile west.
Well, you're almost in the boonies.
Yeah, we were out on the edge of town. Literally, you could have walked at that time to the west of us. There was no development at all when we first moved in there and bought that place. And about two blocks to the south of us, that was the end of the development. Also, the road or the street just stopped.
Now, here's the question that you have. What phone exchange were you in? What school district were you in? What zip code were you in? And what Dakota County? But are you one of those that was affected by being in different places in regards to phone?
No.
Zip code?
Not at that time.
Okay.
There wasn't too much jockeying around of all those things.
Okay.
Fortunately, it keeps it simpler when they don't do that so now, much.
Were you working with Webb when you went in into that project area?
Mm-hmm.
That area project, okay.
Yeah.
And so after Webb, is there a different job?
Well, yeah. Of course, the internet was on the rise, and it was hotter than a pistol at that time. This is back about the year 2000 or 2001. And some of these magazines that catered to the internet industry were just amazing. They'd be 300-page issues of these internet-related magazines. And then within about a year and a half, those magazines were gone. It burnt out. And all these dot-coms that created themselves with a half-minded idea to make money, you know, they went through a lot of IPOs and different things at that time, and everything failed.
Had you hooked up with one of them?
Well, our company did. Unfortunately, they bought an internet portal company called About.com, and that still exists as far as I know, but at that time it was the seventh largest portal on the web. And
what's a portal?
It's an access into information on the web, basically.
Okay.
But they would be like a Yahoo, for example.
Oh.
Okay. About was kind of this site that had all kinds of people connected to it that knew things about various businesses or crafts or hobbies or whatever. And so you could go on that and start asking questions how to do certain things or look at articles that people had written about different things. But, you know, that's all good and well, but how do you monetize that? And a guy that came from MSNBC was the new CEO at the parent company in New York. Our parent company at that time was Prime Media Company, again, which is it was a publicly traded company. And his big deal, he was fond of saying, we're going to marry old media with new media and create the new model. Well, unfortunately, that didn't mean anything because he didn't know how to make any money with it. So consequently, they consummated the deal. They paid a lot of money for this internet company. And then subsequently, right after that, they sent a directive out to all the regional offices across the country saying they had to reorganize, and so a lot of people had to get let go. I was one of them. I had been there 15 and a half years at that point. So I was doing well, as were my coworkers. Our company was doing well. Our magazines were doing well, but they just needed to let stuff go because they had to get the money put back together. So that's how that.
So did you have a day that everybody that they laid off had a goodbye party?
We didn't have a goodbye party. We had a meeting in a meeting room in the office in the morning. You know, everybody was called in, and the general manager of the office gave everybody the bad news and explained what had happened, and it wasn't anything that we had done or any poor performance among anybody on staff. And he was disappointed about it as much as anybody else, you know. But that's reality in the corporate world, right?
Yep. And what did you do?
After that, I was contacted by a company called DTN, Data Transmission Network, out of Omaha, Nebraska. And they are a provider of a lot of information, market information and weather information. A lot of media outlets would use their satellite delivery system of weather maps. They had real nice colored weather maps that were animated graphics and showed, you know, where and when the storm was going to move in. And so a lot of farmers used that system. Also, a lot of businesses that, for example, landscaping companies and construction companies would use that weather information to determine, well, are we going to send the crew out today, or are we going to tell everybody to stay home because the weather's looking bad?
Now, did you sell that directly to the farmer, the construction company, the football team?
Once again, I didn't sell to the end user of the media, so to speak. I sold advertising to the agribusinesses that would advertise
online.
Yes.
Okay.
And they also came out with an internet-based product. But it originated with a satellite, so you'd have a dish, a satellite dish, yeah, outside your house. And
I remember Dick Green, the late Dick Green out on 19, was the first time I ever saw a farmer with a computer room. And he was very early on. It was pretty cool watching, yeah, the weather. And I'm going, heck, he's got better weather information than the radio station.
Yeah. That was probably a DTN system that, yeah, he had. Yeah.
So how long did you stay with that, and was it easier? Did you like it more, less, harder?
It was certainly different. You could do certain things, and you could break the demographics of your audience in certain ways because they would sort of self-sort themselves as to their interests of their business. So if I was a dairyman and I wanted all the up-to-date prices on milk and butterfat, yep, and all this stuff, I could, you know, subscribe, so to speak, to, yep, that part of the service.
Yep.
And so then I could sell advertising directed at that audience segment.
Was that as lucrative as your job with web?
No.
No. Okay. No.
And it lasted about 7 months. This was in 2001.
Okay.
And, of course, we remember 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
And the Wall Street Journal described the advertising business at that time. They said the general economy went into a recession at that time, but the advertising and marketing segments of the industry were in a depression, and there were no jobs. I mean, it was dead for any job opportunities available out there. So what happened was right after the first of the year, after 9/11 happened, the DTN company had gotten a new CEO from, I'm not going to come up with the name, big news organization, England.
Gannett?
Not Gannett, but... it doesn't matter. And he had this vision that was different than what they were doing, so he laid off the whole marketing department. So we were all given our walking papers at that point, like on January 2nd.
Yeah, it's got to be a terrible feeling. Where were you on 9/11?
I was working in my home office on projects for DTN. Yeah, I had a home office. They were based in Omaha, but I was a salesman up here for them in this region.
In your home office?
So I had a home office in my home.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, with a computer and phones and fax and all
so
that.
So how did you learn about it?
My wife called me from town. She was at her mother's, having breakfast with her mother after having dropped the girls off at school. And she said, you might want to get on the TV. A plane just hit World Trade Center. Huh. Okay, so I went in the other room, and I thought it was some small plane. You know,
yeah,
I thought
me too.
It was a small plane. But then, of course, I saw that it was a large plane, and it was pretty nasty. And not long after I turned the set on, the second plane hit the other tower. So.
Now, did you have any friends in the towers having to travel to New York to sell?
I didn't have any in the towers at that time. One of my good regional sales managers in our New York office when I was in the print magazine business, his daughter used to work in one of the towers, and she was there on the first attempt, if you remember that van with explosives in it down in the parking ramp underneath the building.
That blind guy that was the leader is holed up in Rochester.
Yeah, yeah.
So after DNT, did I get that right?
DTN, Data DTN. Transmission Network.
Okay, after them, what did you do?
Well, after all the layoffs happened, and I was out of work for a while, again, it was kind of a depression in the advertising business. And fortunately, my wife was able to get a job at the church office, and so she was doing well for them. And I was looking, and...
Did you get some unemployment?
Oh, yeah, there was severance, of course, and unemployment. So that particular year was the best year that I ever had in my life, actually, financially.
2001?
Because, well, 2000, I think it was, when I got severance from Webb when they had to cut everybody. And then when I got laid off from the other place when they reorganized. So that was kind of interesting, but that's the way it worked. For a while I was looking. Fortunately, my niece, Michelle, worked over at Mystic Lake Casino.
We're talking to Robin Ness. He's from Northfield, not related to the Ness family that you may know. And we're talking about his life. He's a musician. And we'll hear some of his music live in a moment. But right now we're at Mystic Lake.
Yeah, she worked at Mystic Lake, and... she had heard that there was a position open over at Treasure Island Casino, and she passed that tip on to me, not knowing whether I'd be interested in it or not, but knew that I was looking for a job and something to do. So I thanked her and contacted them and drove over there, filled out an application at the HR office, and strangely enough... the last item on this job application form was talking about other experiences or skills that you have that, you know, might be helpful or whatever. And at first I totally dismissed that. I wasn't going to fill it out. And then before I handed the thing in, I thought, well, yeah, I used to play in bands and booked our bands and different things, you know, years ago. So I just wrote that on the bottom. Well, that was the item that got me the job, strangely enough. The marketing director called me and said, yeah, he said, we're interested in visiting with you. I don't know if you want to pursue this position or not. He says, we're not paying what you were used to earning, but you've got some unique skills that intrigue us, and if you want to come in for an interview, we'd love to talk with you, but you're overqualified, just so you know, coming in. Yeah, okay, well, that's fine. So went in and interviewed, and they offered me the job. And the thing about the booking bands and managing bands and playing in bands was... that was kind of the hook, because they were about to embark on a big Treasure Island talent search, which was 12 weeks
Why would you say Treasure Island when we're talking about Mystic Lake?
Well, Mystic was where my niece worked at that time, and she's the one that gave me the tip.
About Treasure Island?
About Treasure Island.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now I'm with you.
Yeah. And so anyway... they were about to embark on 12 weeks of these what they called the island talent search, and they had open submissions, if you will, of demos from singers and guitar players and instrumentalists and dancers and all kinds of talent, and they needed somebody to manage that, and so that was kind of what intrigued them.
Did you have judges?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have to wheedle it down so the judges didn't have to watch 150 of them?
Well, I got to view and hear all of the submissions.
Yeah.
And there were hundreds.
And you would set aside those that wouldn't be worth it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So the judges didn't have to spend time.
Oh, no.
Okay, so no. You gave them 50, and then they worked from there.
Well, I would be the one that was inviting the acts to come and perform
and do live.
In the actual shows.
A live audition?
No. Based on their audition or their demo tapes.
Okay,
and video tapes.
So now they are chosen to be in this 12-week event that you got going, and you have in-house judges, maybe some outside people.
Actually, outside people were the judges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and they had to remember from one week to the next?
Well, there were six acts selected for each week.
Yeah.
And we had a house band, and so if they were a singer, you know, they would submit a cassette tape or demo a CD. Then if they were selected, I would send them out. I'd contact them first and foremost, let them know they were selected to participate, and then send them out their contracts and get their demos to the house band. They would write the charts and prepare all the parts and then perform them live on the given date that those acts were going to
perform.
What
were the contracts about?
What were they about?
Yeah.
Well, just that they agreed this so-and-so performer is going to agree to perform on such and such a date. And
manage them if they win?
No.
Okay.
No. They were
not
they
like
were,
American Idol.
They were competing for cash.
Cash. Oh,
cash
okay.
Prizes.
All right.
Yeah.
So all right.
It was,
anybody from Northfield make a cut?
Gary Heil, who was a guitar player, he made it in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does he play in town locally?
He actually, I think, has moved up to the Twin Cities now.
H-E-I-L?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he's from the Heil Ambulance Service that was in town at one time.
I don't know.
I go that far back. 16 minutes before, it's 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. We will be back in just a moment. We're going to take a brief break, and we'll be back with our guest, Robin Ness. And we're having a fun chat. This is the second time around.
Disney on Ice presents Frozen.
Elsa, do you want to build a snowman?
Join Anna, Elsa, and Olaf. Be a part of all the adventure. All the moments and see Mickey, Minnie, Buzz, the Disney princesses, and more live on ice when Disney on Ice presents Frozen, the show worth melting for. Family-friendly ticket prices are available, coming to Target Center February 28th through March 4th. Visit DisneyOnIce.com for details.
Let us help you maximize your earnings with a certificate of deposit from Community Resource Bank. Invest in a 60-month CD at 2% or a 48-month at 1.75 annual percentage yield, or choose a 54-month bump option at 1.70% APY. Get the best deposit rates around with Community Resource Bank in Northfield, Cannon Falls, and Roseville. Good bankers, good friends. $25,000 minimum deposit required. Penalty for early withdrawal may reduce earnings. Other rates and terms are available. Member FDIC.
This is Pastor Clark Carey, chaplain at Three Links Care Center in Northfield. Our mission statement is important to families, residents, and to us. It states, creating peace of mind for those we serve. To me, that means we care about every aspect of each person's life, body, mind, and spirit. Their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs are important to us in creating that peace of mind so each is safe, secure, and loved under our care. Creating peace of mind for those we serve. That's our goal at Three Links.
What do we have going on here?
Call Me the Breeze. It's a J.J. Cale song, sung by John Hiscox.
My music director?
Your music director.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, John Hiscox on KYMN.
They call me the breeze, 'cause I keep blowing. Ain't no change in the weather. Ain't no They call me the breeze. I keep rolling down the road. Yeah, they call me the breeze. I keep blowing down the road.
Oh, I enjoyed that one. What's the name of that song?
Call Me the Breeze by J.J. Cale.
Yeah. Oh, J.J. Cale did that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, who was the lead on that again? Was that my music director?
That was John singing the lead vocals on it, and I was doing the instruments.
John Hiscox.
And Gail was singing with us also on harmony.
And Gail, whom I'm going to meet someday.
Yeah, I hope so, yeah.
But the deal is this, ladies and gentlemen. Robin Ness and I have spent the last 3 hours and 50 minutes chit-chatting with one another, and I just learned that the deal that he was doing at Treasure Island, which deserves more information and conversation, because that's pretty interesting, and then life after the Treasure Island job, we haven't gotten to that. So it looks like, because I want to get in a live song with you here in the studio at the microphone with your guitar, I want to do that, and I have a couple of messages I have to get out. So it looks like we'll have to meet maybe on a Friday and do an hour or something.
Sure.
Sound like fun?
Yeah.
Fun. Are you retired now?
Yeah, I am.
Other than your gigs that you're doing?
Right.
Okay. And do you do the booking, or does John do that? Or
you know,
do you
John all... and Neil have primarily done most of the job bookings.
Okay.
And they, when we met originally, when we got together 12 years ago or 10 years ago, whatever it's been now, I wasn't able to continue playing with them on a regular basis when they made the decision to continue on and actually form a band and perform. So I was doing my job on the road, and they were able to perform. But then when I retired and I was able to come back, they asked me to join the group again. And
What job on the road did you have?
When I was traveling a lot, well, I traveled a lot when I was in the magazine business, but also in Yellow Pages. I sold telephone directory advertising and internet.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll have to save that for Friday, all right?
Yeah,
I want to know all about that, because you talk about if you don't pay the bill, you aren't going to get your number listed. And anyhow, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do a live song. You have your acoustic guitar here, not hooked up to anything except a microphone aimed at it. What will you be playing for us when we come back after this break?
I think I'll do a song called Louise.
Okay. We will hear Louise, as done by Robin Ness, right after these important timeouts on Kim, a friend you can count on.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
New York Times bestselling author Deborah Kopakin, is Terry Knight's guest today on 15 with the Author. She discusses her insightful new book, The ABCs of Parenthood, An Alphabet of Parenting Advice. Deborah has experienced the gamut of challenging life experiences, from divorce to cancer, and offers solid yet simple and profound tips to help anyone get off the sidelines of parenting and start enjoying it. She takes the alphabet and turns it into bite-sized nuggets of wisdom. And that's coming up at 11 o'clock, 6 minutes from right now, on The Wayne Eddy Affair.
Valentine's Day is coming up fast, and KYMN loves our listeners. So we're going to show our love by giving away some nice prizes. Check us out on Facebook and register for one of the Grand Valentine prize packages. They include gift certificates from The Oldie Store, Anna's Closet, Judy's Floral, with chocolate from Russell Stover, and four tickets to Disney's Frozen on Ice. We'll announce the winners on Tuesday's KYMN Morning Show. Go to Facebook or our website for more information. Happy Valentine's Day from your friends at KYMN.
All right, America, H&R Block has some good news. For a limited time only, you could get a refund advance loan of up to $3,000 the same day you file at Block. That's right, you could get up to $3,000 today. No interest. Told you it was good news. To learn more or find participating locations near you, visit hrblock.com. Get your taxes won. Optional tax refund related loan from BofI Federal Bank. Not your tax refund. $500, $750, $1,250, or $3,000 loans offered. Approval and loan amount based on expected refund and other conditions. Funds loaded on prepaid card. Tax returns may be e-filed without applying for this loan. Fees for other products or features may apply.
H&R Block, 1300 Bolenbacher Drive in Northfield. Open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 5. Walk-ins are welcome or call 645-6281 for an appointment.
The Wayne Eddy Affair, live from our studio in downtown Northfield. I have musician, singer Robin Ness in studio right now. He is with Chance Meeting, a great band from town here. And he's going to do a song for us before we bade you a farewell this morning. And it's called Louise.
Well, they all said Louise was not half bad. It was written on the walls and window shades, and how she'd act, the little girl. A deceiver, don't believe her, that's her trade. Sometimes a bottle of perfume, flowers and maybe some lace. Men brought Louise 10-cent trinket. Their intentions were easily traced. Everybody knows the time she cried. But women like Louise, they get by. Everybody thought it kind of sad when they found Louise in her room. They'd always put her down below their kind. Still some cried when she died this afternoon. Louise rode home on the mail train, somewhere to the south, I heard them say. Too bad it ended so ugly. Too bad she had to go that way. Oh, but the wind's blowing cold tonight. So good night, Louise, good night. So good night, Louise, good night.
I have to tell you, you have the most, I was going to say lovely, beautiful. I was going to say, yeah, I like your voice. Well, you have one. You've been told that so many times in your lifetime.
You know it's because I sound just like you, Wayne.
Who said that? I don't think so. Now, the only thing I can do is 16 tons. It's a half an octave, and that's about it.
Well, Tennessee Ernie.
Yeah, yeah. I can afford that one.
That's all right. Okay.
But, wow, that was a very beautiful song. Who wrote that?
Paul Siebel wrote that one.
Paul Siebel,
singer-songwriter out of New York, if I'm not mistaken.
Well.
Years ago.
I have to say, Robin, this has been an absolute pleasure, and wow, what an interesting career you've had from working in a stinky old hog pen to calling on executives in New York skyscrapers.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And I do know one thing that you do have Lorena as a daughter,
mm-hmm.
and who's your other daughter?
Alyssa and Bethany.
Alyssa and Bethany.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you say Alyssa and Beth?
We call her Lissy sometimes. Lissy? Liz. Yeah.
Lissy?
Lissy. Liz.
Okay, Lissy, yeah. Or Liz. Okay.
Beth. Bethany, yeah.
Okay.
Rainy for Lorena sometimes, for Rainy. Short.
Yeah. I have friends that call me Wayney.
Wayney?
Yeah. Hey, Wayney.
Yep.
So those are very good, dear friends that do that. So we'll do a Friday someday and pick up after, learn more about the Treasure Island deal that you did and then what you did after that.
Sure.
I assume you're retired now?
I am.
All right. But what year were you born?
57.
Oh, the year that Elvis was really making strides.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you very much, Wayne, for having me.
All right. Robin Ness on KYMN Radio, and enjoyed his live music this morning. And thanks to John Hiscox, my music director, for hooking me up with Robin. And now it's Monday morning at 11 o'clock, and this is The One, 95.1 FM, and 1080 AM KYMN out of Northfield, Minnesota.
It's time for 15 with the Author, hosted by Terry Knight. Join Terry as she opens the cover on a different book each week and talks with the author about their book, their life, and their message. Take a deeper look under the cover with Terry.
Is there a quintessential book of parenting? Well, after talking with New York Times bestselling author Deborah Kopaykin about her insightful new book, The ABCs of Parenthood, and an alphabet of parenting advice, there just might be. Deborah has experienced a gamut of challenging life experiences, from divorce to cancer, and offers solid yet simple and profound tips to help anyone get off the sidelines of parenting and start enjoying it. She has an extensive and impressive bio as well. Welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you so much, Terry. I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, I read your bio and thought, yep, I want to talk to this woman because she takes life head on.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe life is taking me head on right now. I happen to be going through, you know, sort of a series of unfortunate events. But what's interesting about when you experience sort of one tragedy on top of the other is that things become lighter. I can't explain it other than I kind of look at life as, come get me. I'm here. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Keep going. You're not going to knock me down. And so, you know, I had a crazy summer where I had my cervix removed in June, and then 3 weeks later, really unusually, I mean, in most trachelectomies, only like 0.28% end up in a bleed out, which is what I had. Oh. And so literally my daughter, my 20-year-old daughter, saved my life on July 4th weekend. I was bleeding out, sort of not much in the conscious state of things,
yeah.
And she got me to the hospital and saved my life.
Wow. That is unbelievable. How are you doing right now?
I'm awesome. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah.
I had two major surgeries this summer, one on top of the other, and so it was challenging getting over that. But what I did actually and this is almost brings us to the book in a sense, which mm-hmm. is that a week after bleeding out, after getting permission from my surgeon to do so, I left and I went to Nepal, and I had planned to go there anyway. A friend of mine, an old friend of mine from last year, had said that he would take care of me, because I had really nobody to take care of me in the wake of this first surgery. Mm-hmm. So I was at home and I was doing grocery shopping and lifting trash and all the things you're not supposed to do. But when you're in the middle of a divorce, mm-hmm. and the children, you know, my one child was at sleepaway camp and my older son was in Thailand teaching English and my daughter was in Israel on a birthright trip. You know, I was literally by myself, and you don't expect that when you get married and have kids to be, and have a family of five all of a sudden to be completely alone.
Yeah.
So I went to Nepal and I spent 2 weeks there really being cared for by a good friend who lives in China. And it was kind of incredible to make that decision. First of all, I'm not going to sit in my bed. I'm going to go to this $29 a night hotel in Kathmandu.
Okay.
And it was, it was a fantastic hotel, and just be
recover
in a place. Yeah. That values, healing.
Yeah.
That's all about healing. In fact, one of the ideas was to go there and sort of test out various types of healing and write a story about it. And what was interesting is when I was on Google Map in my hotel room, and I just plugged in the word healing into my Google Map, and it was red dots popped up everywhere. So if you need healing, I highly suggest Nepal.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and you know, when you talk about it, your experiences are really vast, and I would encourage everybody to take a look at Deborah's website as well, because it's filled with lots of